When we look at our text today, and it's so important because I want it to go deep in your heart. So many people know a lot about God's Word, but they don't know it intimately. They read the Bible like they're reading a newspaper. They're pulling out facts and stories, but sometimes that's as far as it gets. The Word of God is designed to penetrate deep in our hearts so that we can say with the utmost confidence, I know Him. I know Him. And so the purpose, church, of knowing the Word is knowing Jesus.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our Hope Restored series. As we go verse by verse through the book of Nehemiah, last time, we learned that revival begins when God's people gather around His Word. Ezra reads the Scriptures, the Levites explain them, and the people listen with open hearts. Today, we continue in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 18, with a message titled, Our Response to God's Word. As God's Word is explained, the people begin to weep. They realize how far they've wandered from God's commands. Conviction settles over the crowd. But Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites tell them something unexpected. From verse 10, it says, Do not mourn or weep, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Because conviction was never meant to leave them in despair. It was meant to lead them to restoration. The people didn't ignore their sin, but neither did they remain trapped in their guilt. They obeyed God's word, celebrated His goodness, and even restored the Feast of Booths, a celebration that had been neglected for generations. True repentance always produces joyful obedience. God's word convicts us, but God's grace restores us, and genuine repentance leads us to joyful obedience, not endless condemnation. There is a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit to draw us back to God. Condemnation seeks to convince us that there is no hope. One leads to restoration, the other to despair. So today's question, when God convicts you through His word, do you run towards His grace, or do you remain stuck in guilt? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 18 in today's lesson, Our Response to God's Word.
You have your Bibles, grab them, and let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're working our way through Nehemiah verse by verse, and so we're going to be in chapter 8 tonight, finishing up chapter 8. But we're excited about what God is doing. And so tonight, I am really excited. If you have a pencil handy and you don't mind writing in your Bible, the title of the message is Our Response to God's Word. Our Response to God's Word. The one thing I love, and I just want to remind you, is when Nehemiah and the people gathered together, when they started building the walls, they started putting the gates back together. The Lord did something miraculous. It only took 52 days because they had a heart to work. And this was a miracle. This is a miracle. It's only something that God can do. And that's my prayer for our church in 2026, that as we come together, we start building and not so much a building, if you will. Although, guys, we're always constantly looking for something. We're always on the lookout. And I know God's going to hear that prayer. But right now, we want to pour into the people and grow that and watch what God will do. And so again, today's message is our response to God's word. So give me a good amen, hallelujah, if you're in Nehemiah chapter 8.
Amen.
Oh, there we go. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Church, as we begin our Bible study, I want to share with you a little bit about Adam Wilkins. You just didn't know this, and I thought I'd like to share a little bit, sort of like a biography. Now, Adam, guys, I don't know if you knew this, in his past, he worked at King City Chrysler. You're like, Adam did? Yeah. Not sure if you knew this, but he actually studied at Nashville Auto Diesel College. He graduated from Salem Community High School. Adam's favorite Bible quote is, The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. I thought that's really good. I'm not sure if you know this, but according to what I found out, Adam is married to a lady by the name of Jillian Wilkins, and they have one little boy, and they've been married since 2014. Oh, check it out. Adam's favorite sport team, you would think, would be the Green Bay Packers, but quite actually, it's the Richards Childress Racing Team. Oh, and Adam loves movies. One of his favorite movies, you won't believe this, is God's Not Dead. Now, labor with me for just a few more minutes about Adam. I don't know if you know this, but just so you know, Adam loves Popeye's Chop House. He also loves Lone Star Steakhouse. These are things that Adam Wilkins loves. Now, you all are looking at me like, wait a minute. That's not our Adam. Let me say this. A real quick confession. I have no idea who this Adam Wilkins is. You see, as I was looking at our lesson, I started to think a little bit, and it got me thinking. And so what I did is went on the internet, particularly Facebook, and I pulled up Adam Wilkins, someone preferably close to our Adam's age. You're like, wow. And so in about 5 to 10 minutes, I got to learn all of these things that you just learned about me. Now, I know you looked at me funny when I said Adam was married to Jillian because you're going, uh-uh, it was Tiffany. It's Tiffany. You got that wrong. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. And I know that everybody knows that Adam likes the Green Bay Packers, although they didn't do very well this year. Listen, the Adam that I introduced you to, the Adam, all the stuff. Now, probably Adam, our Adam, likes a good steak, but I don't know if we have a Lone Star Steakhouse here. And you go, Pastor, what's your point? Here it is. You ready? I know Adam Wilkins, and I know a lot about an Adam Wilkins. You see, the fella that I just spent the last 10 minutes talking about, I don't know him. I saw a picture of him on Facebook. I saw a picture of his wife. And unless I were to spend some quality time with Adam to see what makes him tick, what hopes and dreams in life, what makes him sad or happy, I do know that this Adam likes steaks, but ultimately as a friend and a brother, I don't know him. I can say I know about a fella named Adam who lives in Salem, Illinois. And yet, on the other hand, church, the Adam who lives here in Lubbock, I know him. I know him. We've spent enormous amount of time. Ever since Adam come on staff, we've been on road trips together. We've had 5 to 10 to 15 hours talking about life, talking about ministry, his hopes, his dreams, his future. We've prayed together. We've walked together. We've talked together. We know this Adam. Social psychologists would tell me I know about Adam Wilkins in Illinois, but I really don't know him. And yet, they would again tell me, I know Adam in Lubbock. You know more about him. You actually know him. Now, the reason I share this story, the reason I bring it up that I actually went online and I looked up Adam Wilkins, and you know Adam's back there, although he always hides behind his monitors, but you know Adam. He's always walking around here. Here's why. When we look at our text today, and it's so important because I want it to go deep in your heart. So many people know a lot about God's word, but they don't know it intimately. Come on, somebody. They read the Bible like they're reading a newspaper. They're pulling out facts and stories, but sometimes that's as far as it gets. The word of God is designed to penetrate deep in our hearts so that we can say with the utmost confidence, I know him. I know him. And it's far more than just facts and figures and scriptures you can pull out. Boom, boom, boom. It's, I know him. And really, that's the most important part. Now, let me illustrate it this way so you can have some tangible to take home. The Bible tells us, guys, in John chapter 1, verse 1, you guys know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we go, amen. And then if we jump over to verse 14, John writes, he says, and the Word became flesh. Let that sink in. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God. So first off, what do we learn? We learn that the word was God. And in verse 14, it said that word became Jesus. Became Jesus. And the Bible says that he lived among us. You see, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And I know that Philippians tells us that he put off his deity. I understand the scripture, but to fully understand, I don't think we're going to understand till we get there, how he was fully God and fully man, and yet he lived this life. And so the purpose, church, of knowing the word is knowing Jesus. You see, it was my granddaughter who came to me and said, "Grandpa, where should I start? Where should I read the Bible?" She got a brand new Bible for Christmas, and she loves it because she can take notes on the side. And she goes, "Grandpa, where should I come?" And where I always tell people to go is the book of John. If you want to know who Jesus is, go to the book of John. This is just tells you all about him. It starts off with saying he was what? He became flesh. This is God. And then he walks with him and talks with him. And so knowing about something is not enough, but knowing the scriptures, knowing who Jesus is intimately, powerfully, this is what we're here for. It's a Wednesday night, church, and we can think of probably a dozen other stuff we could be doing, but we're not, because we want to know God. We want to be here. We want to receive what he has for us. You're hungry for God's word. And as we make our way through the book of Nehemiah, specifically here in chapter 8, the one thing we need to just go back in our minds is we're reminded that the walls are finished, but it wasn't about the wall. It was about God's word and worship. You see, in the same way, as the leadership gathers together, we begin to pray, "Lord, what do you have for us? Thank you, Lord, for this building. Thank you, we've been here 20 years. Thank you, Lord. But what do you have for us? Why? Because it's more than just a building. It's about how can we reach Lubbock? How can we reach people who are far from Jesus? That's the goal. It's about the word. It's about worship. It's about giving God room to do what he wants to do. And let's be honest, church, there are times when we get kind of down and we kind of just get in the same routine and we forget what God wants to do with us. And so again, this is such a beautiful illustration. You see, in spite of all the devil's efforts to prevent the walls and the gates from being completed, in spite of the devil using the outside attacks, you got the Sanballats, the Tobias, the Geshems, and all of them. And not only that, but you had the inside attacks. "Well, I don't like where that goes." But the wall is completed because it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Now, think about this. In the book of Ezra, they completed the temple and the temple foundation because that connected them to God. The temple was always a connection to God. This is where they worshiped. But they were afraid to worship because the walls were down. They didn't know if they were going to come to church and they were going to be attacked by the enemies. You already knew Sanballat. You already knew Tobiah. You already knew they were not pleased with the Jews returning. "Oh, no, no, it's fine. You're over in Babylon. Go back." But now they've come back and God's about to do something amazing. And so what happens is the walls, it was thinking about this, man. They were now free to what? To worship. They didn't have to worry. It's the same way. We got others that protect us. So when we come in here and you're singing the songs, you're not worried, "Oh, I don't know what's happening outside. I don't know what." They're watching. There's the safety. And you're able to worship. And this is exactly what the walls meant to the children of Israel. Now remember, last week, when the wall was finished, it was when the real work had begun. You see, God's real purpose for the wall was just beginning. Here's why. The walls, the temple foundation, all that is important. But what's more important is the people. The heart of the people. It's the heart of the people that we need to remember. Remember, if you weren't here on Sunday, we said all people were created in God's image. And we don't look at a certain class of people or wherever. We go, oh, man. And so when we gathered on Sunday and we prayed for the people of Iran, the people who are getting murdered, these are people that were created in God's image. And I'll tell you what the Lord did in my heart. The Lord, I remember we were praying today at 1 o'clock and I just saw the numbers. I saw the number from 12,000 to 20,000 are being murdered in this country. It's a pretty big country. You go, yep. And the Lord says, it's not just a number. You see, to us, it's a number because we don't know these people in Iran. We don't have a relationship with them. But the Lord goes, no. It's more than a number because you're connected together. How are we connected? Well, you were created in God's image. I'm created in God's image. There are people who need Jesus. Come on, somebody. No. You're not hearing me. There are people who need Jesus. And I'm praying for the missionaries that go to Iran. I'm praying for the missionaries in Venezuela. We're praying for the missionaries all around the world. But I'm telling you right now, we need to be praying as missionaries in our city. Why not us? Why wouldn't God use us? Why? He's anointed us. He's gifted us. This is what we're called to do. And so again, when you think about this, the real purpose for the wall is just the beginning. The people didn't see the building, the wall, as the ultimate goal. Well, you know, brother, once we get this done, it's going to be great. Hold on, I got my trowel here, and I'm making sure, and we're building the wall. They realized this was just a part of it, but the real work is about to happen. And they understood that what went inside the walls, it's what really matters. It's the same thing here. It's when you come in, guys, and you open your Bibles and you're writing it and you're seeing and the Holy Spirit is illuminating this in your life. And it's like, this is what matters right here. When you come in broken and hurting and someone says, hey, can I just pray with you? And they put their arms around you and they say, man, we're praying for you. We love you. This is what it's about, because you go, ah, okay. And that's what really matters. And that's what's going on here in the book of Nehemiah. See, the wall is finished and the people, they began to worship. And when they worshiped, there was revival. There was revival. And it was all based on God's word. On God's word. Guys, we come into churches these days. We come in and we're so guarded and we forget. It's like, oh, here's the word of God. Here's the word of God. Now, last week, I just want to remind you, we left off with four elements of worship. And I want you to think about these, guys. Put on your thinking caps. Let it go deep in your heart. Because worship is rooted, number one, in a hunger for God's word. In a hunger for God's word. Now, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, back in the 60s, when the word of God, when the Jesus revolution was hitting, they didn't have the podcasts we have. They didn't have YouTube. They couldn't just put on a radio and listen to teaching after teaching after teaching. It's such a great tool, but what has it done? I'm not hungry for God's word anymore. I have it. I can put it on anytime. I'm okay. And these people go, oh, we didn't have podcasts. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have radio. All we had is Pastor Ezra. When he's preaching, we're going. We're going. They were going. They checked. They were hungry for God's word. And so my prayer for you and I is, let's look at our heart and say, Lord, am I hungry for your word? Am I hungry as I have a relationship with you? Worship is rooted, number two, we talked about, in hearing God's word and it being explained and the Holy Spirit illuminating what we're supposed to learn for us in our walks. And then we learned that worship is marked by honor and reverence to the word of God. You realize that when Pastor Ezra stood, when he came to the platform, everybody stood up while they read the word of God. You go, well, that's cool. How long will it take you to read those verses? It wasn't just verses. It was from the break of day to lunch. I don't know about you, but whenever I go to a concert and I have to stand and I have to watch, I get tired. You know, I like start to, okay, I just need to sit down. It used to be when I'd be in front, right? We'd be in the front. Yeah, all excited. And we would jump around for 5 hours. Now I'm like, let's find the seat. Let's find this venue where they have seats. And I can just watch them, right? And so you went from this, come on, Sheree, to this. That's where we went to. You go, Pastor, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with your mouth? Nothing. But they stood up because they had a reverence for the word of God. Do we have a reverence and an honor for God's word. Oh, Lord, give us a hunger. Fourth, we talked about this last week. Worship was rooted in how we understand the word of God and the purpose of the teaching, guys, from discipleship, from men's group, from women's ministry, from the teaching of the word of God, anything. People have to leave here with a good understanding of what God said. This is why churches today are anemic, even though they're mega churches, because they're full of entertainment and everybody goes, oh, that was so fun. That was great. Oh my gosh, he was so funny. He came out. I don't know who was showing me. I forgot who was showing me. But there's a pastor with his britches and he's being lifted up in smoke and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, that's going to draw a crowd. But I don't know if anybody left there with a good understanding of God's word. Well, Pastor, chill, bro. You're bashing other churches. No, what I'm saying is this is where worship comes in. Because when you have a hunger for God's word, when you honor and reverence God's word, when you hear God's word and you understand God's word, this is what bursts forth worship. This is what bursts forth. And listen to me. You got to listen to me. Worship is not the 20 minutes that we do here. That's a part of worship. But worship is spontaneous in your house. You're walking through and you're singing, or you're getting alone with God and your guitar and you're worshiping, or in your car or wherever it might be. It's spontaneous because these elements are existent in your life. This is what it should be happening. I got 10 minutes. I know what I'll do. I'll scroll. Lord, I got 10 minutes. What can I read? What can I read? You guys know this. Come on. Tell me I'm not the only one. I'll come to a light. It'll turn red. You'll start flipping your phone. And next thing you know, beep, oh, you've lost track of time. The lights turn green. A friend of mine was driving to the gym the other morning, and he told me he went through two cycles of the light turning green. Thank goodness it was 6 a.m. There was nobody behind him, but he went through two cycles of it turning green and red and yellow and green, and before he realized, oh, I need to go. But here's my point. I'd like to be sitting there, and if I come up to a light, I'm just going to read this. I'm in the Word. It's edifying. So as we finish up tonight, chapter 8, can we take a moment to look and say, Lord, are these elements in my life for worship, for that thing that just is spontaneous in our hearts? Do I have a hunger for God's word? And you go, oh, Pastor, I'm really lacking. Then pray to the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody. Pray to the Lord. I just want a deeper hunger for your word. I want a deeper hunger. I want to hear God's word. I don't want to just listen to sermons. I need to hear with my heart. I want to honor God's word. I really want to understand how it applies to me. And the rest of chapter 8, we're going to learn people's response to the reading and the teaching of God's word. Now, by way of application, I have learned over the years that there are three ways that we can read the word of God. Labor with me for just a second. Three ways. You go, what are they? So the first way is we read it out of duty rather than desire. Second, we read it like a newspaper. But let me give you the third one. The third way is we read the Bible all the while allowing it to read you. Come on, church. Where the word reaches down in your heart, cleanses and heals the wounds that no one can see. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.